Hi, and welcome to New Every Day. My name is Jen, and this is Jane. And on today's show, we're in session 4 of Money Matters, specifically asking the question, how can I make money work for me? So stay tuned. Welcome back to New Every Day. Thank you so much for tuning in. And for those of you that are supporting us online financially, we thank you so much. If you're wondering, you know, how can we do that? We encourage you to go to neweveryday.tv and check out our sponsors page. So today we have our friend Jane with us, and she has
a few years
in the financial counseling realm. And she's actually one of the people at our church. When people are struggling with finances, we would say, you need to go have a conversation with Jane. There's a group of people there, which is, I'm so glad our church has this ministry. And so, you know, this whole conversation started out with, Jane, I'm in debt. How do I get out of debt? So we have tracked through, you know, needs and wants and budgeting and tithing and, and putting priorities on things. So let's say I get that all handled.
And now we're going to get our money working for us.
Because I hear this on TV, and this is really, you know, that line came from a commercial I've heard. Like, get your money working for you.
Right.
What does that mean? Like, when banking institutions or, I don't know, financial people say, get your money working for you. What does that mean?
So they're often, from a worldly perspective, they're actually referring to what is known as good debt versus bad debt. That's one aspect of it. And so bad debt would be something where the interest rate is very, very high. So something like a credit card would be considered a bad debt simply because of the interest rate. A payday loan would be considered a very, very bad debt. But when you have a mortgage and your interest rate is less than 3%, the bank, from a bank's perspective, that would be considered good debt. Okay. So where, and the reason it would be considered good debt is because if your interest rate is less than what you could be earning in an investment, then that would be considered good debt. So it's used as a gauge to say, hey, should I pay off my debt and instead, or should I invest? So often from a bank's perspective, so from a worldly perspective, the perspective is if it's good debt, you carry it. You don't have to work as hard at paying it off. Now, again, I'm being very cautious as I say that, because that is very much from the world's perspective.
Right.
Okay.
And so if the world has a perspective, there must be another perspective. So you're saying the Bible has something else to say about that.
Well, yes, God actually says that we should owe money to no one, that we should carry no debt except the debt of love.
Yes.
Right. Which takes us into a very, very gray area. And I'm not certain we really want to go down that road in terms of, should we even have a mortgage? Or are you saying that you have to save up X number of hundreds of thousands of dollars before you can buy a house? I think that's a very gray area, because in the meantime, you're paying rent. And that, you know, that goes to someone else to help them pay their debt.
Right.
So I think that's something you want to wrestle out. But let's not go down that path,
right,
if that's okay.
Yeah.
I'd actually wouldn't mind going down the path of, how do I get my money working for me in terms of, you know, so I've paid off my debt.
Yeah.
I'm now in a different position financially. I'm working with a balanced book. And in fact, you know, as God promises us in Malachi, he's actually poured out his storehouses, and he is pouring out blessings on us. And our cup overflows, financially speaking. So now we actually are in a position to put some money away for the future.
Yes.
So there is another way that we can actually get our money working for us.
Right.
Is we're actually now in a position to be putting some funds away for our future.
So where do we put that? Because
right.
there are multiple ideas and multiple places
right.
to put the extra.
Right.
And so, you know, immediately my mind goes to, well, I have some, you know, I have one friend who says, don't put it in the stock market because it's so volatile. Mm-hmm. He said, so you put it in real estate. And I have other friends that have said, no, if you put this money away, you know, in mutual funds or whatever, it'll set you up for life. And I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you just keep putting this into, you know, a savings account, let's just put money away, just put a mm-hmm. time after time, it'll just continue to grow. And so I'm like, and then, you know, some people have said, with regards to retirement plans, mm-hmm. so I get a benefits package and with it comes a retirement savings.
Right.
Well, I've had some friends that have said, I don't want that. Just give me the whole thing and I will look after putting that money in certain places because I'm just more in tune, I guess, with where I feel like I'll get the better bang for my buck, right? And I'm mm-hmm. like, okay. Now, I have been told pastors aren't very good with money. They
right.
just, it comes in, we tithe, we spend it, we go on to the next paycheck.
Right.
And so I'm like, that's why I have wonderful friends in Jane where I can go to her and say, can you mm-hmm. help me with this? Like, where should I put the extra to get the money working for me to save up, to set aside, you know, mm-hmm. old age is coming at some point, I hear.
It's so what... Right. So, you know what's interesting? It's interesting to me because we will agree that if we have a medical concern, we would go see a doctor because we would see a doctor as being an expert in medical concerns.
Mm-hmm.
If our car is making a funny sound, we would all agree that we need to go see a mechanic because a mechanic is an expert
yes.
In repairing cars. And yet, when it comes to investing, we want to believe that we ourselves are experts, where we are not experts, for the most part. If you are watching and you are an expert, that's fantastic. But most of us are not experts, nor do most of us have the time it takes to constantly look at our portfolios and rebalance them.
Right.
That's why when it comes to investing, we should be relying on experts to look after our money for us. And that's actually what you get when you invest in a mutual fund, is you get a team of experts who okay. are managing your money for you.
Okay. And I guess that would be my next question is, who is the expert? Because, you know, do I go to this bank or do I go to this bank or do I go to a financial planner, like with Investors Group or London Life,
mm-hmm.
like where are the experts? I guess is my question. Like, so someone coming in, I'm like, so where do I actually go to get the expert advice without it? Because the thing is, I'm like, well, what if it's biased? Like, could they be biased? I guess so.
Well, everyone is biased. Everyone naturally would be biased.
Okay.
Right? They would have a and their bias tends to be with what they are most comfortable with.
Right.
So, for example, if you have someone who is in real estate themselves and has been in real estate, their natural bias would be a bias towards real estate investing because that's what they're comfortable with, that's what they're knowledgeable about. If you have somebody that actually works in the oil industry,
mm-hmm.
their natural bias is towards stocks in the oil industry.
Right.
Oh, yeah. And if you have somebody who works at a bank, our natural bias is in bank stocks.
Okay.
That's our natural bias because that's the industry we're most familiar with. So that's why it's important to understand that when you are investing, and I'm going to speak right now about mutual funds. When you are investing in mutual funds, you're not actually investing in someone who has a bias.
Right.
You're investing in a team who looks at statistics and looks at how it is that different economies are growing,
okay,
and within that economy, what sector of the economy, and within that sector, what companies are poised for growth, and that's how they make their buying decisions. So when okay. you're making a decision in terms of who to listen to about what to buy, you need to be comfortable with the person you're sitting across the desk from.
Interesting. So we're going to pause right there. The question that I want you to think about is, who am I talking to about mm-hmm. my finances? So we'll be back right after this.
Jeff Weston.
Yeah, man.
You're building a brand new, beautiful website.
What?
Aren't you?
No. Am I?
Oh, you're a terrible actor.
What?
This is where acting comes into play.
Oh, I didn't know we were acting.
You're supposed to act.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
Yeah, I'm building a really cool website. Are you building a really cool website? You need hosting. One of the things about a hosting account is you don't want to have limitations put on your website.
It's true.
How much hard drive space do you have? How many email accounts? How many domains can point to it? Well, we've got an amazing deal for you. For a very limited time, cat5.tv/dreamhost, for just $5 and a bit of change per month, you are going to get unlimited website hosting, unlimited email accounts on that hosting service. You are also going to receive a free domain name.
Ooh.
So your own .com.
Nice.
To put that amazing website that you've been working on
it's
on
true.
There. If you want to build a WordPress site, fine. Sign up. cat5.tv/dreamhost.
Just don't put Panama Papers on it.
Just don't do it. But hey, it's a great deal, folks. Best deal you're going to find. $5 and change per month. Go to cat5.tv/dreamhost.
Welcome back to New Every Day. And we ended with the question, so who are you listening to with regards to your finances?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was an excellent point, because whoever you're listening to, you know, based on what they're influenced by is how you will be influenced, or that's the information that you're going to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, like what we started off with was, how do I get my money working mm-hmm. for me? And I don't know if you picked up on that, but that's a very selfish question. How do I get my money working for me?
Mm-hmm.
Rather than, I know in 2 Corinthians, it talks about we are called to be generous.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We're called to be generous for the purposes of bringing God's kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
So really, we need to be taking our finances, all 100% of it, not just the 10%,
mm-hmm.
but all 100% of it, and saying, God, how does this work for you?
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean, it could mean, but it doesn't mean that God's going to take all of that and say, you're not eating, you're not driving, you're not living. No, he actually says, okay, I'm going to put you in a good place to live. I'm going to help you buy your food. I'm going to help you get the right car, or mm-hmm. get the right bus pass. Because maybe it's the bus pass that you're going to get. He's going to put you beside those people that you just have these amazing conversations with.
Mm-hmm.
But the question is, like, when we say, who are you listening to with regards to financing, are you listening to God and God's word first? Because
mm-hmm.
that is the best way to get money working for you. And
mm-hmm.
and we touched... just during the break, we turned to 1 Timothy 6, and it says, "But God," this is 1 Timothy 6, 6, "but godliness with contentment is great gain.
Mm-hmm.
For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs."
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's sad.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the one word that stands out to me is contentment.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul uses that elsewhere in Philippians 4, where he says, "I have learned to be content in all things."
Mm-hmm.
And I think, Lord, this is what you've given me. Help me be content.
Right. And he actually, in Philippians, says, "I have learned to be content in all circumstances, whether I have much or little." So whether we find ourselves financially with much
mm-hmm.
or little, are we content?
Yes.
Yes.
And that's the hard question.
And unfortunately, most of us would not say yes to that.
Right.
Right? Because most of us strive to have more.
Yes.
And it's that striving that actually is actually played out here in 1 Timothy, right? Because
yes.
it isn't about money in and of itself as being a root of all kinds of evil. It is the love of money. And it is that, you know, understanding that if that's what we're pursuing, then we've taken our eyes off of God and we've put it, in fact, on our money, and that's what we're pursuing,
mm-hmm.
right? And that's why Jesus said, you know, where your treasures are, that's where your heart is. So if you
yes.
set your treasures here on earthly things that moths and rust can destroy, as opposed to setting our treasures on eternal things. So
yeah, so what is, I think the real question is, what is the purpose? Like, first of all, you can't be in debt.
Right.
Like, you got to get out of debt. And you need to examine how you got in debt.
Mm-hmm.
And is it because of school?
Mm-hmm.
Is it because you didn't want to work during school? Because some people will say, well, no, I can't work during school, so I'm going to get this debt. Okay, however it is that you got the debt,
mm-hmm.
how are you going to get rid of that debt? But not for the purpose so you can be debt-free, but for the purpose of God, what are you calling me to? What
right.
is right? And so, because he might say, I want you to share an apartment with someone, or I want you to share a home with someone, so that you have money to give to other mm-hmm. things, or to go where I want you to go. And
mm-hmm.
you're like, I don't want to live with someone. But it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things
mm-hmm.
will be added to you. And he's like, you know, we worry about clothes, right? It says,
mm-hmm.
and how much greater was Solomon dressed
mm-hmm.
yet? You know,
he wasn't clothed like the lilies of the field,
which are
yeah.
yes
yeah.
And so it's so important to, you know, and this is where it's a real mind shift
mm-hmm.
with finances, to say, okay, am I truly seeking God first? Because
mm-hmm.
he might say, I want you to live in a trailer park,
mm-hmm.
and you're like, ain't no way I'm living in no trailer park,
right?
But if that trailer park is like a 2-year stopgap, so you can be, or maybe you get 3 or 4 friends living together
mm-hmm.
and we're going to save money, and you're thinking, there's no possible way I could do that. And it's yet, but what is God calling you to? And that really comes down to the heart of the issue. And that's
mm-hmm.
why he says, but godliness with contentment is great gain, because
mm-hmm.
we often think, if I could just be financially free,
mm-hmm.
I'll be happy.
Mm-hmm. And then what?
And then what?
Right.
Like, is that the period?
Right. Or is it a different comma?
Or because then what else are you going to go
right.
searching for?
That's right.
And so we want to encourage you
mm-hmm.
today, first and foremost, is
surrender.
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 Surrender your finances. Surrender who you are, everything that you are,
mm-hmm.
to God. And he will, well, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding.
Mm-hmm.
In all your ways. That means in your money ways too,
mm-hmm.
right? In all your ways, you know, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight.
Mm-hmm.
And when you pursue godliness with contentment, you will have great gain. You will have more than you could ever imagine. So we want to encourage you today to surrender and to get your finances right with
mm-hmm.
God. Get out of debt and say, Lord, how is it that you would use my finances to grow your kingdom?
Mm-hmm.
So we are so thankful that Jane has joined us for these past 4 shows. We want to say thank you. So thank you very much for joining us.
We're my pleasure.
So glad that you could be here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just every time I sit with her, I get challenged with regards to my finances, because I think I want.
Mm-hmm.
I can say I want, but I can think and I could hope that I want to be fully surrendered to the Lord in my finances.
Mm-hmm.
So, because just because you have a little extra, I think sometimes we can get that out of hand, right?
Mm-hmm.
And just go, well, I can do whatever I want. Well, no.
Mm-hmm.
Is God just God over the finance, like your tithe, or is he Lord over all of it?
Mm-hmm.
So I have been challenged
mm-hmm.
today. So thank you very much. So let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this time that we can spend together. Lord, help us to seek you first in all things, to surrender to you in all things, that you would direct our finances so that we can be released to serve you in all things. Help us to pursue godliness with contentment. And Lord, where we have pursued finances for our own gains, would you convict us, help us to repent and surrender that to you. We need you, Lord. We pray this in the mighty name of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you so much for tuning in today. We look forward to seeing you back here next week. Until then, have a great week. God bless.